Hey, normally I whoa, hey. Echo, echo, echo. Normally I have somebody pray for me before we preach, and I want to pray for you this morning. I want to switch things up a little bit. So would you join me in prayer? Lord, Father in heaven, I pray this morning that Jesus would be known deep in the soul of every person here. That no one would leave this morning without grappling, understanding, knowing what to do with you. May you land on each person here in such a way that they cannot escape the grasp of your love, your supremacy, your desire for their soul. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, so we've been going through the book of Daniel and looking at stories in Daniel. And now we want to shift courses just a little bit. And we're going to be looking at what is known as the fourfold gospel. It was written by A.B. Simpson, who is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and basically says that Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Sanctifier, Jesus is Healer, and He is Coming King. And these are four really important pillars that we believe here at Living Christ Church. And so we want to preach on them through the Word of God. But before we do that, I want to give us like a little precursor to that. I want to talk about Jesus, if that's all right with you. I want to do it out of the book of Colossians. Lily told you just a minute ago that we would be in Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and we're actually going to be looking at a section in the middle. I know normally I do the entire passage. I want to look at the section in the middle because it specifically talks about this guy, Jesus. And if you have a Bible, open it to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you, for you. It's page 1142, or pull open an app on your phone and pull out Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to 23, so Colossians 1, 15 to 23, and this whole middle section here is all about this guy, Jesus. And so in my mind, the answer to the question is Jesus. The answer to the question, the most important question that could be asked, I believe the answer to that question is Jesus. And I think you see it all through Scripture, and landing right here in verses 15 to 23, this really fleshes out why I think the answer to the question is Jesus. So I want to read through this section, then we're going to go back and we're going to kind of bite at it a couple chunks at a time, and then we're going to close with it again. I'm going to read it to you again in context of what we just said about it. So maybe it lands right here in your tummy before you fill it up with food tonight. All right? So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He may have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this gospel that you have heard and that has now been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is Paul talking to the church in Colossians. So that's our setup. Now let's dive into it. Let's go back to verse 15. And I want to look at verses 15 to 17. And then we'll kind of flesh them out a little bit, hope they'll land. They will land. And then we'll move on a little bit. We'll take another bite and let that land. Well, let's take another bite and let that land. And hopefully by the time you leave, you will be full. Let's look at this. Verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything was created for him. The answer to the big question is Jesus. Everything was created through him and for him. So the answer to the question is Jesus. So look at this. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that we were created in the image, in the likeness of Creator God. And here it says that Jesus is the image of God. Not likeness, he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. And notice that as a pretext. He is not a created one, he is the creator. So everything was created through him. And these, here's the list: heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones and powers, rulers and authority. So the sky and the universe and everything that we see up there, all the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies that we see new glimpses of every day. Just a couple weeks ago, they think they found a new planet past Pluto. Every single day we find out something new about this universe that God created. The physical and the invisible, right? This physical world that we see and the spiritual world that we cannot see. Whether rulers or authorities, whether people who rule this country or spiritual forces that rule, God created them all and they are subject to him. It was all created for him, by him, and through him. One of my favorite things to do is just to sit out at night in front of a fire staring at the stars. And you sit there long enough and you see this little streak go by. And if you've never seen one of those little streaks before, come talk to me afterwards. We'll work out a plan so you can see this. When you're sitting there and you see that, there's something that happens. The smallness of who you are gets really, really smaller. When you see that thing is the kajillion times the size of you streaking across the sky and it looks so, so tiny. And we look at all the things that we see created on this planet. And they're awesome and they're great. And the Bible says God created them because. For him. We can go to Mars in 2030. We can go to the moon in 2018 or whatever the plan is. We can go wherever we want. We're not going to answer the question through ourselves. We can fly in a spaceship past Pluto and find a new planet. It does not matter. It was created through him, by him, and for him. So we can look for the answer to the question all we want. We can try to understand why there's life on this planet and not life on that planet. And it does not matter because it's for him. We may find another life form out there, but it does not matter because it's for him. And you, sitting right here on this tiny little rock, circling the sun, in the middle of the galaxy, in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy, in the middle of this crazy universe that is 200 billion light years across, he created you through him and for him. The answer to the question of your soul is Jesus. You were created for him. End of story. Not to be a dad, not to be a father or a husband, not to be a pilot or a mechanic, not to be a teacher or a professor. None of that were you created for. You were created for Jesus. End of story. All the rest comes out of that. You were created for God. Let that land. This world could fall apart. Your life could be in complete chaos. And who God cares about is you. Your soul, your being. Not what you do or how you accomplish it, but you. In the story, the answer to the question of life is Jesus. Let's keep going. Let's look at this next chunk. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so his desire is for you to have peace. You're created through him, for him, to have peace. If I want to show my wife how much I love her, it's very simple. We had this conversation last night. It's really simple. When I'm home and she's out hanging out with friends or doing something, and I look around the house and I realize that the house is dirty, all I have to do to show my wife that I love her is to clean that bad boy. There's a lot. See? Now, I mean, here's the deal. This is when she knows that when I'm showing her that I care about her, because I'm like deathly allergic to dust. Like if I get, like I'm, forget it, nose running, eyes all red, like it's chaos. So when I do that, my wife goes, wow. And so I'll look around the house. I mean, this happened infrequently. But every now and then, I look around the house when she's away, and she goes to a Bible study Monday night, and sometimes I'm like, you know what? I just want her to know that I care about her. And I dust the house. And you know what happens? Almost immediately, she comes in the house and goes, you clean the house? And I'm like, and she's like, I mean, that's what... If you want to fix your marriage, people, it's really simple. Just prefer the other spouse. Just prefer the spouse. Don't do this thing. Don't make it all consumed about you. If you prefer your spouse, chances are you're not going to end in divorce. Just saying. I mean, this is a side note. Take it. Put it in the bank. It works. It's time tested. So think about this, okay? So now let's shift, right? The house is dirty. It is unclean. And Jesus Christ cleans it for you. And now you are whole and there is peace. Hey, business person, imagine that huge project that you've been working on for months. You come into the office and it's done. It's done. Students, kids, you have all the homework in the world. All the homework in the world. And you open up your backpack and you pull your homework out and it's already filled in. Teachers, you get to school. You're ready for your day. And all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker, today is the last day of school. Enjoy your summer. It's taken care of. Whereas it was going to take you hard work, and maybe you wouldn't have been able to accomplish it. You open it up and it's done. It's complete. It's finished. There is nothing more you can do. God has done it for you. The answer to the question of your soul is Jesus. Let's keep looking. Let's just keep going. I skipped over the fact that he is the head of the church, right? He is the head of all of this. This building literally means nothing to him. It means nothing to him. This building could be destroyed tomorrow. It means nothing. You do. The church is not run by me and the elders. The church is run by Jesus. And when we get that off, when we get that twisted, when we get that screwed up, the body suffers. Because he is the head of the church. He's the head of me. I'll come and go. Side note, we have a tendency to people worship a lot. We do this. Our fallen nature. We look at somebody, we see them, they're amazing. We do it in the Super Bowl tonight. And if you watch football, you watch Cam Newton play, oh my goodness, this guy is ridiculous. And we worship him. I can come and go. Cam Newton can come and go. It's not about Cam Newton. It's not about Pastor Jeff. It's about Jesus. And so this building, this could be destroyed tomorrow, and it means absolutely nothing. These pews, anything in this building means absolutely nothing. The church is you, and that's what he cares about. Let's jump back in. So verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out for the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven that Paul has talked about. We said the answer to the question is Jesus, and you've been now reconciled to him. Well, why have you been reconciled to him? What happened? Here it tells us, you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. And this evil behavior took place when Adam and Eve sinned, causing the disruption in the created order that God had laid out for us. And as a result of that, we are now born into alienation from God, separation from him. All you have to do is look at a 2-year-old and tell them to put the toy down or give me the toy, and they rip it from your hand and tell you to go somewhere. I have this niece that my wife nannies for all week long, and she's the cutest thing in the world. I mean, just want to squeeze her cheeks, and it's adorable, and these little eyes and little curly hair all the time. And she'll walk up, just slap you and give you a hug, and it's awesome. And then you say no. On Friday, I got to see this firsthand. She's like, and then it goes, no. And she walks over to the chair, and there's a person on it. She starts grabbing trying to throw the chair down. She's not even 2 years old. This is why I know there is a disruption in the universe. There's something wrong with created order, and it just grows and grows and grows, and all you have to do is look at the news and realize things are not good. They're not good. The created order of perfection and peace that God wants is not where it should be. And as a result of that, God himself indwelt this guy Jesus, came here for you and for me to reestablish our relationship with him so that you would no longer be alienated because of habitual sin that has invaded every single one of us. All that is now dealt with in Jesus. So that the answer to the question is no longer, can Jeff get himself right? Can Jeff figure this out? Why can't he just behave? Parents, have you ever sat there and watched your kids and thought, oh my goodness, why can't you just listen? Just listen to what I have to say. Clean your room. Come on. Please. I could not do it. You could not do it. So God himself jumped into time and space, put on flesh for you and me to reestablish our relationship with him. And the alienation and the blemish and the sin was now dealt with. And the result of that was holy in his sight. Screw up, you're still holy. There's no more blemish in your soul. Jesus sees you. And freedom from accusation. Oh, man. And now, stay true to this. You've got it. You've grasped it. You have it in your hand. Don't run from it. You have peace. Let it land. So let's put it this way, taking in context those stories that I was telling you before. There was no absolute way. Imagine, students, your backpack, you open it up, and you thought you had 5 homework assignments, and you had 20. And school starts in 10 seconds. I see looks on Facebook. Business professional, that project, you open up your briefcase, and all of a sudden, there's 50 in there. It cannot be done. Teacher, you show up at school. It's the last day, and over the announcement, welcome to the first day of school. When we could not accomplish it, nothing in our power could have accomplished it. Jesus stepped into time and space to accomplish it for us. The answer to the question is Jesus. And every day, man tries to come up with a new answer to the question. Well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Maybe if we just tried a little harder. Maybe if we just got that rocket out there just a little bit further. Oh, wait a second. There's billions and billions of light years that we haven't even touched yet. Maybe if we just build this building and finish this building, we will have peace in our soul. Maybe if we just get that next degree or accomplish that next thing, all of a sudden everything's going to be right with the world. It's all meaningless unless we understand that the answer to the question is Jesus. I want to stress that the answer to the question of peace is here. It doesn't mean that peace is no longer here, or that all of a sudden peace is all here. I don't want to sell you something that's not true, that all of a sudden Jesus comes in your soul and the whole world, it's all roses. And all of a sudden all the problems that you're interacting with all of a sudden magically fade away and you get the girl and you get a brand new car and $1 billion and you win the lottery. No, the answer to the question is here, not here. I will never sell you that. Come to Jesus, all of a sudden everything's going to line up. It's here. The answer to the question is Jesus here in your soul. The worship team is going to come back up, and we're going to sing. And then we're going to invite you to come and participate in communion. This is your action step this morning. For the next 2 weeks, Pastor Jaime is going to preach to you on Jesus as Savior. We're going to talk to you about Jesus' sanctifier. But in order to get there, there's something we have to do with this guy, Jesus. Well, Pastor Jeff, that's great. That's awesome. That's good for you. High five. Good job. That's the answer to your question. I don't want to convince you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I want you to understand. I want you to grapple with that the answer to all your questions, not my questions, the answer to all your questions is Jesus. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that in a special way that you would break through every block or every barrier that any of us have placed up in front of you. The enemy of our soul does not want us to understand the answer to the question. He doesn't want us to hear or receive peace. But you do. And right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would break through every block or every barrier in each one of our souls to you. Right now, Holy Spirit. And I really feel like there's people sitting here this morning and it just feels like there's cement blocks over their ears and their soul. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take a spiritual jackhammer and just break that up. Lord, I really feel this morning like there is chaos going on in some people's minds. It seems cloudy and murky and distracting right now, and I ask that you would clear that up in the name of Jesus. So that the answer to this question would land maybe for the first time in somebody's life. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.